In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Nothing was made without him. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The whole world is made through him, except the world doesn't recognize him. But there are others who do believe in him. They run to him from the fields and journey from far away, carrying only hope and curiosity. They didn't know where the road would lead or what others would think of them. But they believe in his name. And to these, he gives the right to become children of God. The Word became human, and he made his home among us, so we could see his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God made known to us, not on a throne of power, but in a cradle of peace. Emmanuel, God with us.
Emmanuel, God with us. Last week we started talking about the history, and we saw that this Jesus was predicted, and the specifics of his arrival were painted out pretty clearly. I mean, even 1,000 years before. It was incredible. It's incredible when you look at that. And we talked about the prophecy of Christ's coming. This week, before we get started, I want to ask you a question. What would you give to Mary and Joseph if they came knocking on your door and you had no place to house them? What might you send them away with? What? Blankets. Some camping gear. Anything else? Some what? Okay. Living water? Food and water. I was like, well, that hasn't come on the scene yet. Katie would be there at the door. Behold, I have come to bring you living water. Would have totally changed the story. Food and water. Food and water. What else? A phone? Yeah. Phone would be helpful. Phone. List of resources. A backpack. A tent. These are all things. What? Money. Maybe some cash. Gift card, maybe. Well, I want to challenge you. At this time of year, we as families will do all these things where we adopt a kid and we buy them G.I. Joe. Oh, those even aren't even a thing anymore. We buy them a Switch games. Yeah, because now they play like this, where we used to play like this. Yeah. So we have all these things. Adopt a kid, and you see the kid's Christmas list is, I want these, and I want these games, and I want this, and I want that. And that's okay. It's good. We call that giving them a good Christmas. But I want to challenge you as a family. I've got 12 bags up here, and they've got a start. They look like this. They've got a start. The start that's in them is some hand warmers and toe warmers, some socks, one pair, gloves and a hat, a blanket, first aid kit, maybe. There's wet wipes there for cleaning up. There's a little bag of things like toothbrush, a razor, some things like that. Because what's happening right now, if you can imagine the stress that Mary and Joseph were under that night, to have no place to go, to go and look and say, our baby is about to be born. We have no place to go. How is this even gonna, what are we gonna do? The reality is that there are people in our community who have that stress every day. Every day they're looking for a place to stay. And then people like Scrooge, I think, he was like, aren't there workhouses, aren't there poorhouses, aren't there this, aren't there that? And sometimes they're just deciding that the shelter is not the place for them, because some of them have been banned from the shelter. Some of them have had squabbles. Some of them look and say, it's not a safe place for me. I don't want to go there. And others, it's that the shelters are full. And they have the stress every day. So I have these 12 bags, and I would like to challenge us as 12 family units, 12 households, to take a bag with you. Take a bag with you and add to it. I don't know, maybe you'll add a bottle of water, maybe you'll add a gift card that gets them a cooked meal someplace, maybe you'll put in several pairs of socks, maybe you'll do these things that are good for them to have, all right? So what we're going to do is, I'm not going to continue until all 12 of these bags are gone. You can bring them back here next week, or just get them here before the 17th, because the morning of the 17th, we're having a breakfast where we're inviting in all the homeless, unhoused, the people who have been homeless, people who are currently homeless, and we're having breakfast together. And Biff and Leslie and Dana are going to be cooking a spread, and we're going to be asking them questions. Yeah, Dana said he was willing to help. It was Leslie? See, at their age, they forget sometimes. It happens. So you got to give them a reminder the night before. So bring them back before the 17th so that we'll have them there to give out. If we don't have that many who are unhoused, we'll bring them right back and say, put them in your car and give them to people who are standing on the street. So Steve and Jake, come here. Come help with these bags. Raise a hand if you're going to take one of these bags, and Steve and Jake will distribute them while I get started. All right, keep those hands up, and we'll get all these bags out there. All right, this morning, while they're handing out these bags, this morning, I want to talk about the theology of Christmas. Theology of Christmas. Now you see, you hear the word theology and you think, oh boy, gee, this is going to be fun, right? Not many people, when we get into theology and we start talking about that word, the concepts of God and the study of God and what we believe, sometimes it can put you to sleep. And I understand that. We have people who love to just have debates about theology. And I remember that from seminary. But this theology of Christmas is probably one of my top three favorites. Top three. Need more bags. Okay, feel free to buy a bag and fill it. All right? But great, 12 bags. Awesome. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the theology of Christmas and a word called incarnation, all right? The incarnation. And it starts in John chapter 1, if you want to turn there, in John chapter 1. John doesn't get into the details like Matthew and Luke do. He doesn't talk about this virgin who's going to give birth. He doesn't talk about the history. He doesn't talk about the setting at all. He doesn't talk about any of that. Instead, John decides he is going to talk about the how, the why, and the what. What happened here? What is going on with this event? It's interesting to me. He doesn't mention shepherds or anything. Doesn't mention any of that. And so when we look and see, he only talks about the main thing of Christmas. Keeping the main thing the main thing. What is true theology about the person of Jesus and his birth? Now there's this word. When we look at this, in the beginning, this is from the New Living Translation. In the beginning, the Word already existed. Okay, got it. It's there. It hasn't been created. It's always existed. The Word was with God. All right, cool. Whatever this Word is, it was there in the beginning, and it was there with God. Sweet. All right, I got it. Then the next part, and the Word was God. What? Wait a minute. So the Word was God, but was with God, and was eternal, and there in the beginning. And sometimes people get confused about this, especially when people come to your door and knock, and they want to give you out a little magazine, right? A little Watchtower track. They'll take this verse and they change it. Just a little bit. The Jehovah Witnesses will change it and say, instead of the Word was God, they say that the Word was a God. We'll get to that in a few minutes. The difference between the Word was with God and was God. And then it starts talking about this Word as He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him. Through this Word. And nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. The light that shines in the darkness. And darkness can never extinguish it. See, when we look at this, it's clearly talking about a person. The Word was a person. Now, when we look at it, what's the definition of word?
A word? I mean, a word is a word. It's like part of communication or something.
But in the Greek language, what John was actually borrowing from, he was borrowing this phrase from the Greek language of logos or logos, all right? And what that meant was kind of like the force, the essence, the everything, the all-contained, all right? So when we see that the Word is talking about everything, the essence of everything is there, that Word. So let's skip ahead, and I want you to read this in context this week, this whole John chapter 1, because you'll see that the Word talked about is Jesus Christ very clearly. Look at John 1, 14 through 18. So, the Word became human, and he made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Clear what the Word was? There at the beginning, there the essence, there through which all was created, there as part. And some people will say that Jesus was not God. He was just a good man, a prophet, that he wasn't Messiah. He wasn't any of that. And we've seen a number of different times in Scripture where Jesus says, like to the woman at the well, this Messiah you are searching for, I am he. He can't get any more clear than that. Can't get any more clear than that. Verse 16, from his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another, for the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Christ Jesus. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. Okay, so there we have all of it, and we look and say, great, we've got all of that. Now, what does that have to do with incarnation? What we've just described, the Word, the essence, the force, coming into human form, is called the incarnation. That's what it is, when God pours himself into a human being. See, Western society, if we were to say, we don't really have a theology of Christmas anymore. We have a philosophy of Christmas. And everybody's philosophy is a little different. Like, people of all cultures always find ways to celebrate. You didn't realize that? We always find ways to celebrate, and they celebrate for different reasons. So take out your calendar. You'll want to know that on Tuesday, May 3rd, it's National Lumpy Rug Day. Okay, mark that down. And we also have, on Thursday, October 13th, it's International Skeptics Day. Yeah, exactly. The skeptics don't believe in it, but it's their day. It's their day. So when we see it, what is incarnation, what is the theology of Christmas, if we're to look at people's cultures and how they celebrate things, our Christmas celebration is because of a world-changing, life-changing event. It's more than just picking a random day. It's a day that was prophesied 1,000 years before. Now, I kind of wanted to look at some of the things that people celebrate around the world. In Hindu culture, this holiday, people pierce their bodies and even their tongues with skewers and nails as a kind of ritual that's done in order to please their god of war. Now, obviously, not everybody buys into that in that culture, right? Just these guys, basically. But other people bring fruits, milk for the festival. It's a very colorful thing. How about this one? This one cracks me up. This is in Spain. That little guy there is a person. It's a great honor to be this person who gets to dress up as what they call the devil or a demon, and the rest of the village gathers around and throws turnips at him to drive out evil. Nobody really knows why they've been doing this for centuries. They can't even tell you why they do this. But someplace centuries ago, somebody said, hey, Bob, you know what would be a fun idea? You dress up as a devil, we're going to throw these disgusting turnips at you. And then you're going to run away, and we'll call that a festival. Every town needs to have a festival, right? How about this one? I wouldn't want this one. This is the Balls of Fire Festival. This is weird. This is in El Salvador, where people make balls of fire and throw them at each other at night. Okay, you know why? It's a festival, it's huge. The locals celebrate it to remember. What are they remembering? They're remembering centuries ago when a volcano erupted and balls of fire were hitting the town, and they survived it, and it was years later. So they said, you know what we should do? We should do this. Now, what do you think of when you hear the word Christmas? Let's be honest. What are some of the things you think of? But first come to mind, when somebody says, you walk into Walmart, for instance, you walk into Walmart, and it's October 1st, and you see the Isle of Christmas stuff, what do you think? It's too early. And every year everybody posts, is it earlier or is it me? It's you. Well, what are some of the first things that come to mind when you hear Christmas? Santa. What? Presents. Christmas tree. Santa arriving on a lobster boat. Mariah Carey, the queen of Christmas. I think, you know, the Macy's Day Parade in our house. When Santa arrives at the end of the parade, Christmas begins. And I actually jump and dance with the kids and go, Santa, it's Santa's here, it's Santa, it's Santa, it's time. And I turn on the inflatables and I'm ready to roll, I'm ready to go. And we're like excited, but very few of us will think incarnation. World-changing, my life-changing event. It's fun. I love it. I love it all. We talked about it. Remember last week I told you about my tacky decorations and stuff? You know, my projector, you know, Kristen and Josh actually gave me one Sunday afternoon, and it was awesome, and this is our house. Look, Robin's like, I can't believe you're showing this to people. When you look and go, I can't believe you're even showing this. This is like Ralphie, the Christmas story. She's the mom, and I'm the lamp. This is like, wow. It could great. And Shara actually sent me a link last night to a 50% off coupon for inflatables that are 8 feet tall. But she said, don't tell mom. I won't tell her. So incarnation, the plot behind Christmas. So the Word became human and made his home among us. So if Hallmark movies, the decorations, the gift giving, Dominic the Donkey, my favorite Christmas song, by the way, Ed won't play it. Jiggity jig, hee-haw, hee-haw, Italian Christmas donkey, jiggity jig, hee-haw, hee-haw. And my grandkids sing it with me. La, 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 la. How ridiculous, but fun. We're having fun with it. If that's all we think about, if it's all that matters to us, and we don't consider the world-changing, long-expected, life-changing incarnation, the birth of Christ, of God becoming totally man while totally God, we need to reprioritize. So what is incarnation? Incarnation. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. When we look at Isaiah 7:14, literally means God with us. That God dwelt among us. God with us. And that dwelt among us, that's an Old Testament term used. It was actually the word for tabernacled. That Jesus came, that God poured himself into human form and then tabernacled with us. You guys who are Hebrew historians, what was the significance of the tabernacle? Remember? That was God's house. That's where he dwelt. That was where they went to meet the presence of God. When he started being with his people and setting up every night, he would meet, come down upon the tabernacle to say, during that day, this is where God's presence is. But now things are changing. God is pouring himself into a human being to tabernacle with us. We don't have to go there. He's with us now. With us. Sent to be born purposely in the most humble situation. He worked as a common laborer a builder, and died a sinner's death on our behalf. Sent to where we said last week, to Standish. No, not Standish, but Bethlehem. Sent to Bethlehem. What? Why that little dinky town? See, the incarnation is the gateway. It's the beginning of the cross. It's the beginning of God's plan to restore man to himself, humankind to himself. The theology of Christmas changes everything about my life. When I see that the incarnation reveals his glory. Without the incarnation, think of this, the death of Jesus on the cross doesn't matter. If Jesus was not God incarnate, the death of Jesus on the cross doesn't matter. He's just another good guy dying on a cross. We've had a lot of those over the years. We've had martyrs die for good purposes. Without the incarnation, without God pouring himself into Jesus, the cross doesn't matter. So this is the beginning of that story of God redeeming man, rescuing man, saving man, giving man hope. See, John used that term logos because it was the essence, the force. But that force was kind of not as touchable, not as accessible, not as evident among the people walking among us. When I would talk to my children and grandchildren and try to get this concept across to them, I love to talk about bugs. I love to talk about everything we see out there in nature and kind of relate that to what our Father thinks. And so I would sit, and when we would see ants working, scurrying to do their work, we would sit down and watch them. And I'd say, what if there was a big, what if there was a flood coming? What if there was a big fire coming and it was going to wreck all these ants and it was going to kill them? But you wanted to warn them, what would you do? And the kids would normally think for a minute and they'd go, well, I'd pick them up. So I'd say, go ahead, try. Well, that didn't work so well. I'm so big, I just killed this little ant by picking him up. Right. So picking him up isn't going to work. What should you do? Maybe I'll get a shovel and dig. Okay, we could try that, but will we get them all? No, probably not. What would you do? I wish I could become an ant and go down and tell them. And then if I could become an ant and walk next to them, I could tell them and we could talk and I could say, it's coming. And see, that's the concept of when we see Jesus Christ walking with man, walking among us. There's a hand-in-hand thing that happens here. The Logos becomes flesh. It becomes human. It becomes Emmanuel with us. See, some people get confused and they think, okay, since Jesus was God, he was like a Superman. He was like, he wasn't like fully human. He had special powers, and that's why he could live like he did. No, Jesus is human in every way that you and I are. Every way he had all the limitations and weaknesses that we have. He needed rest. He got hungry. He experienced pain, grief. Somebody look up Luke 2:52 and read it to us. Luke 2:52.
And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God.
And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. Do you ever think this? Jesus, in his human form, had to learn the laws of the Father. He knew them and had them inside him, but because God limited himself, God limited himself in human form. Jesus had to actually grow and learn and grow in wisdom and grow in stature. He had to study. He had to. Now, did he grasp it more than you and I? Oh, probably, yeah. You know, he definitely knew he's on mission and on target. I got that. But understand that God limited himself and said, you are fully man, but you're also fully God, because if you weren't, that sacrifice on the cross is meaningless. It's meaningless. It's a mystery. It blows my mind. How can you be both fully God and fully man? But God can figure it out, and that's what he did. He did. He wept. He had to endure the rottenness that comes around our society, and he decided to walk with us. The other thing the incarnation shows me is it demonstrates his incredible supremacy. It demonstrated his incomparable supremacy. When I look at Jesus, it's not that his supremacy is only measured by who he is. He's awesome because of what he does. His supremacy is shown by the way he demonstrates grace on a daily basis, by the way he walks and shows the heart of the Father right here, right now. If you're wondering what grace is, Jesus said, this is it. This is how I walk. This is what I do. If you wonder what the Father would do and what the Father thinks, he who has seen me has seen the Father. This is how his heart is. This is how he works. Verse 16, it said, "For from his fullness we've all received grace upon grace." Do you know that there are two kinds of grace? Common grace is the grace that everyone gets. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. We deserve to go to hell the moment we first sinned, and even though we continue to sin, God still lets us live. He gives us breath. He gives us life. He even gives us joy. It's a good life that just seems to come to all. But then there's saving grace. Saving grace is when God sees you in your sin, walking away from him. You're willfully drowning in the filth of our decisions with no hope of rescue, and he comes down and he grabs you, saves you from your sin, washes you, gives you eternal life by dying for you. See, saving grace is only through Christ. See, saving grace is like wave after wave on a beach. Okay, you love to go to the beach and watch those waves that just continue to crash, and they take the little pebbles of sand out again and out again and out again, and each one of those pebbles of sand is like our sin yesterday, today, and tomorrow. When we follow Christ, he says, that is forgiven. That is forgiven. It's washed clean. And I love to think that if grace is an ocean, we're all sinking from that song. We are all sinking. Or swimming. A lot of times I look at it and say, because of grace, I'm able to just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. Because life is hard, like we saw. So that incarnation, when we see Jesus Christ coming and saying, here I am, if you've seen the Father, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. His birth, his life, his death, his resurrection changed the course of history. Our music team is going to come on up to close us, and as they do, they're going to close with a powerful hymn this morning. A powerful hymn, Christmas hymn. And one of the lines in it is, Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Now intimately appearing, now right in front of us, right beside us, God with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of the death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. No matter what I face, you are with me. Emmanuel, with me. God in the flesh. And if he hadn't been God, those angels wouldn't have appeared in full glory. The angels appeared and declared it. They stated it. People came to see him, and lives were changed from the moment they saw this baby and said, "Here he is. Come, let us adore him."